It's our interest in your prayers tonight. Look into the Word. Thank we have the Lord to depend on. And we do not have anything in our own ability. I know you all have heard the preachers get up frequently and say they need your prayers and are dependent on the Lord. That is indeed the truth. Because in our own strength tonight, we don't have anything to offer. But we do through the Word of God and through His Spirit tonight. So I ask in interest of your prayers, quench not. If you will turn with me over to the 4th chapter of John, again reading in the 23rd verse. It's a very familiar passage, and one of the sisters, I believe it was, referred to this passage when Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well. The Samaritan woman, the Samaritans had been ostracized from the Jewish people. They were in essence first cousins, but yet there was enmity between the two groups, the Jews and the Samaritans. And Jesus was not interested in those kinds of divisions. He came and died for all people. And it is a blessing for God's people to be able to come together from all different backgrounds and all different families, that we can come together and be one in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, and He told the woman what God was looking for. In the 23rd verse, if I will get to the right book, it would be helpful. In the book of John, the 4th chapter, 23rd verse, Jesus said, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers..." Now, you notice He said the true worshipers. In other words, there is a delineation or a difference between true worshipers and between false worshipers. And He said, "The hour cometh and now is." So we don't have any excuses now. The day and hour of excuses is gone. And He said, "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship in what? In spirit and in truth." It was a twofold type of worship that the Lord was seeking. And He said, "For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, I have been with people and met people that seem to have a what we would call a good spirit. They seem to have a sincere spirit. They seem to have a desire for the things of God, but yet they were lacking in truth. They said, "Well, I want to make it to heaven, and I have a desire to," but they were headed the wrong way. And I have also seen people, and I have sat with people in meetings, just like you have, that have the truth. You understand? Mentioned this morning, their T's are crossed and their I's are dotted, but they have a bad spirit. They don't have the Spirit of Christ. They don't have a spirit of love. And there is a lack of fellowship that I have with those kind of people too. The Lord is looking for a people tonight that are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And I wonder this tonight, and just would ask us, what kind of worship have you been having in your life? What kind of worship has it been? It's not enough to be sincere. Understand now, because there's a lot of sincere people doing a lot of bad things. But we want to have the right spirit, a spirit of love, a spirit of sincerity, coupled with the truth of God's Word. Now, the Scripture didn't say anything about my opinion or my way here. And it didn't say anything about your way. How often have you been in a discussion with someone and said, "Well, that's not the way I see it"? Have you ever been guilty of saying that? Do you know it is relatively unimportant how you see it tonight? Because your way is not going to get me to heaven. And as much as difficult it is for us to acknowledge sometimes, not us, you'll acknowledge it freely. You know what? My opinions aren't going to get you to heaven either. My way isn't going to save you. My way, we all have ways. We all have opinions. But the Lord is looking for people to worship Him in truth tonight. And that means according to the Word of the Lord. According to God's way. And I want to caution us tonight to seek the Lord for His way. And we need to learn how to lay our way on the altar. Because folks, our ways aren't going to save us. When we stand before the judgment seat of God, God's not going to look at us and say, "Well, now how did you see it? Oh, well, you saw it that way. Well, you know, I can go to another congregation and they see it a different way. So which way are we going to follow?" You know the reason there are so many churches? You can just go around the corner. I'm assuming here as well. You can just go around the corner and you can find another church. But I'm interested tonight in being part of God's church. And I want my worship to be acceptable to Him. But the only acceptable worship is when we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And folks, tonight the Lord is looking for someone to worship Him in spirit and truth. He's seeking that. He's looking. He's saying, "Will you be that person?" And you say, "Well, I mean well." Folks, I've known a lot of people that mean well. And in our family, and just understand it's one of those family things, if you say, "Well, they meant well," that means something. It means that maybe they mean well, but they didn't do well. The Lord is looking for a people tonight that will worship Him meaning well with a heart of love and fervency on fire for God, but yet are coupling it with the way of purity and holiness and godliness and sin-free living. Coupled together, the Lord is looking for that tonight. He is looking for a people that will have a relationship with Him. And you know, to have a relationship with God, it takes holy living. And we can only live holy when the Spirit of the Lord is in our life. Because holiness does not come by following, Brother Clint mentioned last night, holiness does not come by just following a list of rules. Holiness is a result of the Lord in my life and me having a desire to please Him, and the result is going to be pure living. That's a result of the presence of God in our life. It is a privilege tonight to serve the Lord. It is a privilege to worship God tonight. And if you have ever been in a place that the enemy has tried to make you think, if you follow the Lord, and you become a real member of the church of God, you know what that means, being born again. If you really give your life to God, you can't have any fun, and you can't do this. I know with children, sometimes when we're asked, when we were children, say, what do you believe? Say, "Well, we can't do this, and we can't do that, and we do this." And, oh, really? You know, I found serving God more than what I can't do. I found serving the Lord is a positive thing. Serving the Lord is, I don't have to sin because I found something better. I found a treasure hidden in a field. And it was worth with joy. I was able to go and sell everything that I had because I found something better tonight. Oh, it's a trick of the enemy to try to make us think that we're going to be put in a straitjacket if we give our heart to God. That's the devil tonight that says that. But when you really give your heart to God and say, "Lord, I'm willing to be one of these worshipers now. I'm going to come with all of my heart and I'm going to worship You according to truth," you will find that the blessings of the Lord will make you rich tonight. It is a privilege to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If there is a generation that is needy of the presence of the Holy Spirit, it is this generation. Yes. Folks, we need the Holy Spirit in our lives to keep us and to empower us and to enable us. There has been a lot of confusion about what the Holy Spirit's all about. And you can read a lot of books. And you can listen to a lot of speakers. And you can listen to a lot of illustrations. And I freely acknowledge that even with good intentioned people, there's been a lot of confusion on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And so then when it starts to get confusing, I'd like to point you to a very simple source tonight. Just look what Jesus said. It's time to look what Jesus said. Jesus told His disciples, He said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with what? With power. You want to know what the Holy Spirit does? He gives power tonight. Power to do what? Power to say no to self. Power to say no to the world. Why do I have to say no? Because self is still there. Because there's still Michael, I'm still flesh and blood. You cut me, I'm still going to bleed. But there's a power tonight that can enable me to say no when I'm tempted. I'm still in the flesh, but I can live in the Spirit and say no to sin because there's a greater power working in me. Jesus said you would be endued with power from on high, and then you will be witnesses of me. There are a lot of people tonight that are trying to witness of what God can do, and they haven't partaken of the Holy Spirit. Folks, it is a condition to really have that power, to be that example of what a true worshiper is. We need to be filled with that Spirit of God tonight, because He is what enables us to go out and stay living holy when all these ungodly pressures about us. You will turn with me to the book of saying the book of John, the 16th chapter. Let's go a little bit further and see what the Spirit does. Because see, when we worship God in spirit and in truth, that is a condition of our heart, our spirit blending with the Spirit of God. And isn't it a blessing to be able to come into services like this tonight and be led by the Spirit of God? I wasn't handed a program tonight. I don't want the program. I want to be led by the Spirit, and I am blessed richly when you are led by the Spirit. And we can come together in oneness and in unity, and I know we come from different parts of the country, and I know we have different backgrounds, but we have one Spirit, and we have one Lord, and there's one faith, and there's one baptism. That makes us family tonight. So I want to worship like that, being led of the Spirit. This is what the Spirit of the Lord does for us. In the 16th chapter of John, we'll begin reading with verse 7. He said here, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Isn't it good that we can rely on Jesus to have told us the truth? There are some people, I know I mentioned it a few weeks ago, the graduation of Guthrie, some were here, but you know, some people preacher shop. Have you ever heard that expression? I'm going to tell you what it means. They preach or shop. In other words, they have a question about something, so they go to one of the ministers and they say, I need some counsel. They say, will you give me some counsel? And they give their question. And they don't get the answer they like. So they, I need some more counsel. And so they go to another minister. And they go from minister to minister until they find the answer they wanted to hear. And then they go away saying, I sought counsel from the ministry. And this is what they told me. And now I feel vindicated and I feel good. Because I found someone to agree with me. You understand? Jesus said, did not tell us always what we wanted to hear. Folks, be careful about seeking counsel and just going from one to the other until you find what you hear. Jesus will tell us the truth. Now He said, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you. Do you know the Lord is doing things still in our life tonight to what is expedient for us? The Lord is not trying to make our lives difficult tonight. Serving God is a good way to live. It's not about a straitjacket. It's not about bondage. Serving the Lord is about freedom. It is about liberty. It is about love. It's about I'm here because I want to be here. It's about experiencing the glory and the presence of the Lord. But I will tell you, there's not much more miserable than to sit among God's people and not have made that decision. Because then you look around and say, well, there's nothing to it because I'm not feeling that. So they're just putting on and there's nothing to it. Unfortunately, that may be some people's experience, but when you taste of the Spirit of the Lord, you will know what spiritual life is about. If someone else is hypocrite, and I want to tell you, they start to view everybody else as a hypocrite. Because if someone's not living a holy life, but they're professing it, when they come to service, they look around thinking everybody has hidden things in their life. No, they don't. There are people tonight that love God and are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth and living holy. Come home with me.
You can come and go home with a child of God, and they're the same at church as they are at work on Monday. As the same as they are with their family. Loving and kind and gentle. And if they make a mistake, they'll be quick to say, I'm sorry. Lord, give me more grace. I want to grow in this area of my life. It's expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Folks, the Holy Spirit came to be a Comforter. He came to guide. He came to give power, but now we find Jesus here was calling Him a Comforter. You know that presence in your life, even when you go through hard things? That deep presence that maybe you can't even put into words, that's the Comforter. And Jesus could only be one place at a time in the flesh. So He said, it's important that I go away, that the Spirit of the Lord, the Comforter, can be inside of each one of you. And when you're struggling, He'll be there to comfort you and strengthen you. Doesn't that sound like a good presence? Folks, we don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit tonight. Too many people are afraid of the Spirit. The Spirit is for us tonight. The Spirit there is to enable us to live this high calling. And when I say, oh, I can't do it, the Spirit of the Lord is there to say, yes, you can by my strength, by my power, by my grace. And then I say, Lord, just like the brother testified about little David, okay, Lord, you said I'm to live holy and I'm struggling. I'm going to go forward not in my own strength, but in the name of the Lord. And there's power to sustain us and keep us. He's a Comforter. He went on to say, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now in verse 13 He said, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth. Now we talk, goes from being a Comforter to a judge and a reprover. How many of us like correction tonight? I don't generally ask for a show of hands. But is there anybody here that just really likes to be corrected? I know the children won't raise their hand. There's a brother that told me a while back, he says frequently, he says, if you see anything in my life, he says, I want you to come and I want you to tell me about it. I appreciate that spirit. But you know, in America especially, we're a pretty independent people, aren't we? And you know, there are some blessings in that, but I want to say there are some places it gets us in trouble. Reproof from the Spirit is not something to fear, folks. Reproof from the Spirit, if we will remember that the purpose of the Spirit is to enable, it is to empower. When He comes and He puts His finger on something in my life, that is a blessing. It means the Lord is still dealing with me. It means the Lord is interested in the way I'm living my life. And He said, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. Folks, there are things I don't know tonight. I don't have it all figured out, but the Lord promised to guide me tonight. He promised to guide us with the questions we have and the places in our life that we come to and say, Lord, I don't understand. There's a Spirit that will guide and direct and comfort and strengthen. We don't have to go through life by ourselves. All right, so God is looking now for a people who will worship Him in spirit. Our spirit, a spirit of love. A spirit of fervency blended with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He's looking for that kind of people. So the question I'd like to ask us tonight in the fear and love of God is, what are we doing with the Spirit? This message is not just to the saved tonight. This message is to all of us, saved and unsaved alike. What are we doing with the Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit came, it says, to reprove us of sin. He came to help us to know that sin is not right.
He came to show us that there is a better way than living in a life of sin. So what are we doing with that spirit of judgment tonight? What are we doing, those that are saved tonight? What are we doing with the spirit of correction? When the Lord comes and He deals with us about something in our life, and saints, you don't need the preacher to go home with you and line everything out in your life. Because, you know, there's going to be some things that you don't like what the preacher tries to line out. And there are going to be some things that he might try to put on you on a personal level that maybe you're not quite sure that's what the Bible says. And there may be some other areas that he's a little lax on. We need the Holy Spirit in our life, folks. We are accountable to the Lord tonight. So it really then, it becomes relatively unimportant how you view my life. What's most important is how I'm living my life before the Lord. And if the Lord approves of me, all of you can look on and say, yes, that brother seems to be doing well and God's blessing his life. I had a brother tell me, I had to deal with a brother one time that was in clear violation of a scriptural principle. And he looked at me and he said, are you telling me that God's not blessing my life? And I told him, I said, brother, I said, that's not the point. I said, the Scripture teaches something. There's a truth here that how much better, how much closer to God, how much more anointing, how much more power would there be if you would accept what the Scripture teaches and yield and submit to it. Yes. Folks, we don't need to be afraid of truth tonight. There are sometimes people say, when the Word of God goes forth, they say, it's stepping on my toes. What are we going to do when the Word of God steps on our toes? I'll tell you, it's easy, if it's easy in the flesh, to just blame the preacher. Because then I can still not say no to God, but I can say, well, that's just him. Do you all know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Because we don't want to just say no to God, because we all know better than that, don't we? And so what we can tend to do is try to kind of change things around a little bit and say, well, that's just their opinion, or that's just that minister, that's just the Sunday school teacher, that's just them. Folks, we are going to be accountable tonight for the way that we live our life. We're going to be accountable, and the Spirit of the Lord is going to be faithful to deal with each and every one of us with clarity in our life. I do not believe when we stand before the judgment seat of God that there's going to be surprises. Say, oh Lord, I didn't know that. He sent the Spirit of God to reprove and to correct and to lead into all truth. And it is up to us tonight. What will you do with the Spirit of God? Very familiar passage, and it's the Scripture that I've written on the board. 1 Thessalonians 5, in the 9th verse. It said, quench not the Spirit. Quench not. To quench means to put out. It means to extinguish. Means to squelch. You have a fire and you got some coals there you want to put out. You just take a bucket of water and you just douse it good. You've quenched it. I put it out. The Scripture says to quench not the Spirit. And the exhortation to us tonight, saved and saint, sinner, hypocrite, all of us tonight, wherever we are with God, let's not quench the Spirit. Let's not put Him out. Let's not try to drown out His voice, but let's listen knowing that He is there for our good. And the Lord is looking for a people who will be led of the Spirit and guided by the Spirit and living in the Spirit and working in the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit tonight. When we come into service, the Scripture says, the Lord says to be fervent in spirit. Fervent means, in essence, on fire. It means hot. Bubbling hot, fervent in spirit. How is your spirit tonight? Are you fervent in spirit? Do you know sometimes we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need a fresh anointing in my life. Lord, that the cares of life and some of the troubles and the problems and the questions I've had, it has a way sometimes of starting to kind of cover up the fresh anointing
that the Lord wants there to be. And we need to come back and say, Lord, I want a fresh anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, I want You to rekindle the flame in my life. Folks, we're living in a generation, the Scripture talks about those that are lukewarm. Those that are not fervent in spirit. Those that are just, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. What are we doing with the Spirit tonight? Are you on fire for God this evening? Do you feel that fervency and that anointing and that presence? Do you still hear the Lord, the Spirit of God, saying, that's not good for you? You still hear the voice of the Spirit saying, you can make it. Come on. You can make it. You can do it by my strength. Folks, I don't want to quench that. I don't want to put that out. And even when it makes my flesh uncomfortable, I can rest in knowing that He has my best interest at heart. And when the Spirit of the Lord brings correction in my life, it is going to be for my good if I will submit myself and say, yes, Lord. You know that we can try to sound spiritual when the Spirit of God speaks to us. And we can say, I'm going to pray about it. But how much sense does it make to go into Walmart, go into the store, and you see something you want and you think about stealing it, and say, well, I'm going to pray about whether I should steal that or not. We know what the Bible says, don't we? The prayer should be, Lord, give me the grace and the strength to do what I know to do. Lord, give me the strength and power over my fleshly impulse. Lord, that I can do what You want me to do here. Folks, we can pray ourselves right out of God's will when you know what God wants you to do. And we come into this place and we say, I'm praying for it. How long are we going to pray about it when we know what God said to do? You understand tonight? If you don't understand God's will, pray on till the answer comes, the song says. But when the Spirit of the Lord reveals Himself and the Word is true, it ought to change the way we're praying. Now my prayer is, Lord, give me the ability to live that way. Lord, give me the grace to do that. So Lord, help us to be careful tonight. And I am thankful, as the prophet Isaiah spoke of in the 30th chapter, when you would hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. This is the way, walk ye in it. What are we doing with that voice tonight? We quenching it? Ignoring it? You know, sometimes children act like, and it's easier to talk about children than ourselves, isn't it? Sometimes. Children can almost sometimes act like if they don't acknowledge something and act like they don't hear something, then they're not accountable. Is that true? Does that happen? Do you know that we can do that very thing with God tonight? And it's why we try to teach our children, when we tell you to do something, I want you to look at me and acknowledge. Yes, I heard that. Yes, I understand that. So we have an agreement that we all know what's expected. Do you know that the Lord wants that from His people tonight? Or we don't have to be afraid of looking at the Lord and hearing what He's telling us tonight. There are people that are running from God's will. There are people that are running from His purpose. They're running from His voice. They're quenching the Spirit. And the reality is, they're cheating themselves of the blessings of God. They're cheating themselves. And if we would just stop and say, Lord, I'm willing to humble my heart, and I'm willing to say yes now. Oh, there's joys. That's where the victory lies, saints. It's where the power lies. Lord, help us to listen to the voice of the Spirit. The warnings that the Spirit of God gives to us. How long has it been? And you don't have to answer me, but talk to the Lord tonight. How long has it been since the Spirit of the Lord has come along? And you know, when He comes along, kind of taps you on the shoulder. Says, I've got something I want you to do. I've got something I want you to do for me. What have you done with that tonight? What have you done when the Spirit of the Lord came and said, you know what, that's not good for you. That's not conducive to holiness. Because you know, things that are not holy, they begin to build walls between us and God.
If this is not about tonight, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. This is about serving a God that is holy. And if my desire is to be in a relationship with God, then I want to eradicate my life of all the things that put distance between me and God. And so then those areas that, you know, there are some things tonight that are not just black and white sin issues. There are some things, and we can talk about hot button issues tonight. We can have a long Bible study on those things after church if you want it. You know what I'm talking about? Those things that people have their opinions and people start, you want to see some fire, you start bringing up some issues and people start getting, what has the Spirit of God said to you personally in your life? How is the Lord dealt when He says it's not good for you? And we say, well, it's not sin. Are you saying I'm not saved if I do that? Have you ever heard someone say that? You're telling me I'm not saved because I'm doing this? No, that's not what we're saying. But how is it affecting your relationship with the Lord? God is a holy God. How is it affecting your relationship? Are you listening to the Spirit of the Lord when He comes? The places we go, you know, we can make a big list tonight on this board and we'd miss some things and we probably put some things on there. Some of you say, oh, Brother Michael, it doesn't need to be on the list. The places you go, what has the Spirit of God said about it? The way that we dress, the attitudes that we have, the things we listen to, the things we watch, how is it affecting our spiritual walk with God? God is a holy God. And the Spirit of the Lord is there to guide us and help us that we could enter into that relationship with the Lord, that we could have power in our life. There is not, it's so miserable to straddle the fence, isn't it? That's a miserable place to be. I want the Lord and I'm not willing to give up God totally, but there's things of the world that I want to, I'm just not quite ready to let go of. That's not a real pleasant place to be. But you know that as we can learn to let go tonight of the things of this world and say yes to God, Lord, I don't want to quench You now. Do you know that the Lord will empower and invigorate and renew and enliven us? But the Spirit of God will not force us tonight. He will not coerce us. He will not force us to live a life of holiness. But the enemy is doing everything he can to drown out. In other words, to quench, to put out the Spirit of the Lord. And you know, many times it's not just the unlawful things of the world. There are many times in all of us, Jesus told us that all of us would face this snare. And He was talking about the lawful cares of life. The things that are not wrong. Radios, music, phones, work, hobbies, the things that we have given in life. To have some of those to enjoy. But what the enemy would like to do is to cause lawful things to begin to drown out the voice of the Spirit of the Lord in our life. Not giving the Lord the time to talk to us. We've always got to have something going in the background. Do you know what that does? It begins to limit the time that the Spirit of the Lord can lead us and help us and be a friend to us and empower us. Lord, help us to quench not the Spirit. And those that begin to quench the Spirit, the Scripture talks about those that have had their conscience seared with a hot iron. I've watched women in Africa, and they can just pick up those hot coals in their hand, and they can about stand there and just talk to you with a hot coal in their hand. And if I even touched one of those, I'd be, say, crying like a baby. I don't know. It would hurt, let me just say that. I couldn't do it. But they have handled those hot coals for so long that the fingertips have become desensitized. You know we can do that with the Spirit of the Lord tonight? We can quench Him and drown Him out so many times that we don't even feel bad anymore. And the things that we one time were sensitive about and we knew that, we say, well, I don't know if it's a spirit. But you know when you start to feel uncomfortable about something and there's just this unease in your life when you do something and you just kind of feel this distance between you and God? Folks, that's the Spirit of the Lord trying to tell us something. This isn't good for you. But if we override those dealings of the Lord, it does not take very long before we don't feel any compunction. We don't feel any hesitancy about doing it. We say, I don't feel convicted about that. But did you used to be convicted about that? Was there a time in your life that you heard the Spirit of the Lord, and after so many times of saying no to the Holy Spirit, what do we want the Holy Spirit to do, folks, tonight? Do we want Him to force us? He won't do it. The Lord is looking for a people who will voluntarily worship Him in spirit and in truth. He won't force us. It's your choice tonight. If you're not saved tonight and there's sin in your life, the Lord is not going to force you. We have a choice to make. But I want to warn us tonight, in the love of God, it is a dangerous thing to say no to the Spirit of God. We have a... I don't know what the law is in South Carolina. Are you all supposed to wear seatbelts here? I don't know if there's a hot button topic here or not, so I may be treading on dangerous ground. But I know in our state, it's a law. And do you know, in some of the newer cars, if you get in and don't put your seatbelt on, what happens? It what? It tells on you. You know, our van, it is persistent. Ding, ding, ding. And one time I thought, I want to know if this thing will just stop. So I didn't put my seatbelt on. I don't know if it did or not. That's dangerous, folks. I don't know if it stopped or not, but I know it got to the place I wasn't hearing it anymore. You listen to something long enough, you tune it out. The Spirit of the Lord, folks, people are doing that to the Spirit tonight. The Spirit is not lifting up off the face of the world. The Spirit of the Lord is going to be here, faithful to do His job until God says it's enough. But what's happening is people are tuning Him out and not listening until they don't even hear Him anymore, and they don't even know the Spirit of the Lord's trying to deal with them. But our car is a different situation. In our car, we can put, if we don't put your seatbelt on, it starts dinging immediately. And it gets faster and faster. Ding, 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 ding. And then it just stops. In other words, the car is kind of saying, okay, I did my job, and I warned you, but I can't force you to put it on. I have a question for us tonight. Do we really want the Spirit of God to leave us alone? If we've been running from God, to the unsaved tonight, if you've been putting off getting saved, been running a little bit, just don't. It's dangerous. Because do you know the Lord is going to honor your choice? And not making a decision for God is making a decision. It is making a decision. You're telling the Lord no. The Lord wants us to say yes tonight. And it's His Spirit that convicts. And those that are saved tonight, those places that He's trying to lead us into a closer walk. He wants us to be that light to the world. He wants to bless us. People can sit back and say, well, the people just aren't anointed like they used to be. No, this is about me now. This is about my life. Folks, God has greater anointing for His people tonight. I believe that. But anointing of the Spirit comes from a life of sacrifice. It comes from a life of submission and consecration and saying, Lord, I give myself whatever You want, Lord, I'm willing to do. And yes, there's some pain involved. And yes, Michael stands up sometimes. But Lord, I know You have proven every time when I put it on the altar, You have well repaid me with greater blessings and riches. So do we really want the Lord to leave us alone? Or are we willing to say, Lord, tonight, when I hear that seatbelt warning going off, Lord, I'm going to take heed. Because I don't want it to stop. Lord, I don't want You to leave me. I don't want to get to a place that it doesn't affect me anymore. I have seen over and over and over people that have known the truth and walked away thinking I'm going to do it my own way. It does not take very long for them to lose so much of just the principles of goodness in morality, in godliness. And it was because they made a decision to not listen to the warning of the Spirit. Folks, I am not exempt from that happening to me tonight. All of us are in a place that the enemy is working so hard to drown out the Spirit of God. So I ask us tonight in love, what are you doing with the Spirit? Oh, I entreat you, quench not the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. I'd like to close over in John in the 7th chapter, in the 37th verse. John 7:37. It said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst. Do you know what thirsting is? It means that there is a desire for something. Oh, tonight, if for all of us, wherever you are in your walk with God tonight, if there's a longing, if there's a thirst for something, Jesus said, let him come to me. Oh, I don't have all the answers to your problems. I can't do anything for you myself. But folks, there is a God who can tonight. And if there's a yearning for something more to the sinner tonight, if there's that desire to be saved but you're not sure how you can break free, leave that to the Lord and just come and say yes tonight. Because He will do for you what you can't do for yourself tonight. But I don't want the Spirit of God to go away. I have prayed with people on their deathbeds that had said no to the Spirit of the Lord so long that when on their deathbed they went out into eternity not ready to meet God because they just could not bring themselves to say yes because they rejected Him so long. Folks, that's a dangerous place to be. I don't want to see any of us tonight go out into eternity saying, I'd like to be saved, but where's the Spirit? Where's the Lord? Where's the conviction? The Scripture says to call upon Him while He is where? While He's near. Seek ye the Lord while He is near. Call upon Him. Seek ye the Lord while He might be found, and call upon Him while He is near. Seek the Lord while He's close to you. When you can find Him, when you have opportunity, when you feel that tug. You know, that's what the Spirit of the Lord is tonight. Some say, well, I'm not sure what the Spirit of the Lord is. It's that tug inside. It's that discomfort of knowing that something's not right and there's this draw to something better. Folks, the Spirit of the Lord has something for all of us tonight. But call on Him while He's near, lest He take you at your word and walk away. If any man thirst, you know, we can be saved and start getting to get a little thirsty. That, Lord, I know You've been talking to me and I know You've been dealing with me. And Lord, I need something more than what I have tonight. I need some refreshing. The Lord saying, you can come to me and you can drink. And He went on to say, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Something that's alive. But you know those, for those that are saved, think about the springs at Monarch. Those of you who have been to Monarch Springs, there was a time many, many years ago, I understand, that those springs were just bubbling up. The water was just bubbling up, but through the years, there's been some covering over. There's been some covering up. The water isn't like it used to be. Folks, the devil would like us to quench the Spirit in our life. That one time we were lively stones. One time we were on fire for God. One time we were diligent and careful. And now it just seems like serving the Lord is drudgery. Oh, if you thirst tonight, come to the Lord and you can have that reviving and that refreshing. And you may say, how does this correlate with the message? Read on. Many times we stop right there. He said, but this spake He of the Spirit. Jesus talked about this river of water flowing out of this living water. He was speaking of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Folks, there is living water tonight. And I want to just entreat us tonight, let's not quench the Spirit. What are we doing tonight with the voice of the Spirit in our life? Unsaved, what are you doing? There is a consequence to saying no to the Spirit of God. He might just stop. I don't want that to happen. You know, when the Lord comes and deals with me, it gives me comfort to know the Lord has not left me. He still cares. And when He comes and says, Michael, you need to change that. Lord, help me. Lord, help me, because I know that You're showing me the way that's good for me. So tonight, what will You do with the Spirit? Let's not quench the Spirit, folks. God has good things in store for all of us. And He's looking for people to worship Him in spirit and in truth.